KJAN Sports.
It is time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Let's take a look first at some high school volleyball scores from last night. The Hawkeye 10 Conference had just a little action going on last evening as Red Oak defeated Creston in three straight. It was Kemper Catholic topping Glenwood three in a row. Lewis Central down Shenandoah. They went the distance 3-2 the final. And St. Albert beat Clarinda 3-0. The weekly Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union volleyball rankings out yesterday afternoon have some local teams in each of those classes. Class 1A, East Mills, is rated 8th this week as they stay put, while Cam moves into the ratings at number 13 in the 1A poll this week. Class 2A, among the local rated teams, Sydney is in at number 4, Tri-Center at number 7, Trainer is 8, and St. Albert is 9. They all stay put from last week. In Class 3A, Kemper Catholic remains top-rated. Red Oak is number 11, and Shenandoah is ranked 15th. They all stay in the same spots as last week. Lewis Central also stays put at number 15 in the 4A poll, while Abraham Lincoln is at number 11 this week. That's up from 13th last week in the Class 5A girls volleyball poll. Speaking of polls, let's take a look at the Radio Iowa High School football poll for this week. Coming into the final week of the regular season, in Class 4A, West Des Moines Valley remains top-rated with Cedar Falls and Ankeny Centennial 2 and 3. In Class 3A, Lewis Central remains number 1 this week with Cedar Rapids Xavier and Solon making up the top 3. In Class 2A, it's PCM on top with Boyden Hall, Rock Valley, and Waukon 1, 2, and 3. Greene County is in at number 7 in this week's poll. They move up a couple of spots. In Class 1A, Van Meter remains number 1 rated. Dyke New Hartford and South Central Calhoun are the top 3. In Class A, Hudson is number 1 this week with Algona Garrigan staying put at number 2. AHSTW remains 3rd rated in this week's Class A poll. And in the 8-man poll, Iowa Valley is number 1 with Northwood Kents at number 2 and Arweva in at number 3. They all stay put, while Fremont Mills moves back into the rankings this week. They're in at number 10 in this week's poll. Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley has been named the Big Ten Co-Offensive Player of the Week. Stanley passed for 320 yards and 6 touchdowns in Iowa's 42-16 win at Indiana. And Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says he's doing a good job of getting everyone involved.
By design, we hope that we can spread the ball around, but it doesn't always work that way. And I think a couple things are in play. You know, Nate's a much better player than he was a year ago. He was just getting his feet on the ground last year. Now he's got that year experience.
Farron says all the skill players are more experienced this season.
It gives, I think, Nate a lot of options, and he's doing a good job of getting the ball where he should based on the way they're covering, that type of thing. So you have to give Nate a lot of credit. He's just doing an excellent job out there for us.
The Hawkeyes are 5-1 on the season, ranked 19th in this week's AP poll. They'll play host to Maryland coming up on Saturday. West Virginia coach Dana Holgerson called the storming of the field after the Mountaineers lost at Iowa State unprofessional. Thousands of Cyclone fans rushed the field at the end of ISU's 30-14 win.
Thousands of people coming at you, it's not good. There's league rules and league bans against that for a reason. And our job is to keep players safe, and we didn't have time to get them off the field, so that was... That was not good.
Holgerson says none of the West Virginia players were injured, but the crowd on the field prevented him from getting to Cyclone coach Matt Campbell after the game.
It was dicey there for a while. I mean, I know we rushed a few of the main guys off, and then the rest of them were kind of on their own. But luckily we got out of there without anybody getting hurt.
Iowa State coach Matt Campbell says his first priority at the end of the game was helping the West Virginia players get off the field.
Obviously a moment of excitement for our fan base, but I thought our administration and I know our coaching staff made sure we did the number one priority, and the number one priority is making sure their kids got off the field safely.
Well, after showing they can handle adversity, Iowa State coach Matt Campbell now wants his team to learn to handle success. The Cyclones opened the season 1-3, but they've beaten 2 straight ranked opponents heading into a bye week.
You know, I think this is another unique challenge for some of these young guys of staying the course of a 12-game football season and, you know, having the ability to just keep getting better one day at a time and learning those lessons.
The Cyclones will return to action on October 27th by hosting Texas Tech.
Equal to the challenge of not starting out the way you wanted to have success, now the challenge is you win 2 games. And can you stay the course through that as well? And I think these are valuable lessons that as you're building a team that you want to have a chance to be a really good football program, you got to learn those lessons and how to manage both successes and failures.
Also with a big win comes some big honors. Iowa State junior defensive end Jaquan Bailey was named the Big 12 Co-Defensive Player of the Week after his performance in Saturday's win. A native of Jacksonville, Florida, Bailey spearheaded a dominating defensive effort, limiting the previously unbeaten Mountaineers to just 7 offensive points and 152 yards of total offense. That's their lowest output in 23 years. Bailey had 2 of Iowa State's school record-tying 7 sacks as the Cyclones boast back-to-back 7-sack games. Bailey also was instrumental in helping the Cyclones register a safety late in the fourth quarter, forcing a holding call with the quarterback in the end zone. Bailey ranks 3rd in the Big 12 in tackles for loss and 4th in sacks. His career 15 sacks ties for 4th in school history. Iowa State true freshman quarterback Brock Purdy was the Big 12's newcomer of the week for the 2nd straight week after his performance. Purdy, a native of Gilbert, Arizona, is continuing his amazing Cinderella story, leading the Cyclones to a pair of victories over ranked opponents in consecutive weeks after playing just 2 snaps in Iowa State's first 4 games. He threw for 254 yards on 18 of 25 passing and 3 touchdowns, and also rushed for 39 yards in the win. In his last 2 games, Purdy has accounted for 8 of Iowa State's 10 touchdowns, is averaging 286 yards passing, 347.5 yards of total offense, and completing 75% of his passes. The rookie was also a weekly recipient of the Davey O'Brien Great 8 and the Manning Award Star of the Week awards for the 2nd consecutive week. Time has been set also for Iowa State's next game. That'll be that homecoming contest against Texas Tech on October 27th. That game will kick off at 11 a.m., and it'll be televised by ESPN2. In NFL football last night, Mason Crosby has gone from GOAT to hero in just 8 days. Crosby drilled a 27-yard field goal as time expired to give the Green Bay Packers a 33-30 victory over San Francisco. The field goal capped an 81-yard drive set up by Kevin King's interception with 67 seconds remaining. The drive was extended after 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman was called for an illegal contact penalty on 3rd and 15, wiping out a sack of Aaron Rodgers with 43 seconds left. Crosby also nailed kicks of 51, 39, and 29 yards after missing 4 field goals and an extra point in the Packers' loss at Detroit last Sunday. Rodgers threw for 425 yards and 2 touchdowns to help the Packers improve to 3-2-1. Rodgers also rushed up the middle for a 21-yard gain on the winning drive and then completed 2 more passes for 19 yards. C.J. Beathard passed for 245 yards and a couple of touchdowns for the Niners, who fall to 1-5 with that loss. And in baseball last night, the Milwaukee Brewers have taken a 2-1 lead in the National League Championship Series. Julius Chacin combined with 4 relievers on a 5-hitter as the Brewers shut out the Dodgers 4-0 in Los Angeles. Chacin allowed Milwaukee to take a 4-run lead by limiting the defending National League champs to 3 hits over 5 1/3 innings. Jeremy Jeffress had another rocky performance before closing out the win, striking out Yasmani Grandal and pinch hitter Brian Dozier with the bases loaded to complete Milwaukee's 3rd shutout in 6 playoff games this year. Ryan Braun put the Brewers ahead just 3 batters into the game with an RBI double that scored Christian Yelich. Orlando Arcia capped the scoring with a 2-run homer in the 7th inning, 1 inning after Milwaukee scored on a wild pitch. All the scoring came off of Walker Buehler, who allowed just 5 hits and a walk while striking out 8 over 7 innings. Game 4 will be in L.A. again, and that'll be coming up later on this evening. That's a look at sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.